Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Jay Caulfield up next, talking about the Penguins, who blew a 2-goal lead in the third period last night. Much to talk about there. But first, it's time for Starkey's Card of the Week, brought to you by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. The General, General Patton, we like to call him. Jeff Patton has our Card of the Week. Your chance to win the Card of the Week goes by, or comes by, going on our website, 937thefan.com. Right around now, right around noon, between Wednesday and Friday, General Patton, we're each going to take a guess at the Card of the Week. I'm going to go Cooper Flagg if there is a card for him. Bob, who do you have?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a great one, Bob.
You took Cooper Flagg. I'm staring at a posterization of Guillermo Diaz here. So,
Russell Wilson, no, Lamar Jackson.
No. I'm trying to think. I think what it's going to be is
the guy the Pirates signed that nobody knows.
No, I'm going to give you something way out. It's wrong. I know it already is, but it's going to be Blomqvist, the goalie in Wilkes-Barre Scranton, because he needs to be called up immediately.
Holy bird milk. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Do you have a guess at the Card of the Week? Could be anybody in sports who's done something notable.
Cordero Patterson.
Taking a pitch out, General? Do you have him on a card?
Good morning. I appreciate you having me. Cooper Flagg would definitely be the card if he had one. He doesn't have a card yet. NIL will soon take care of that. So we're going to look at somebody else we saw up and close and personal. Joe Burrow. We're going with a Prism Joe Burrow rookie this weekend. I know, Joe, you like the market data. Burrow's always a top three seller in cards. And it's funny, I was just telling a buddy of mine, when we were kids, nobody would buy cards from the enemy, right? But sports transcends now with TV and media.
Oh, yeah.
Burrow's very, very popular.
What about Ricard Raquel? He's been hot.
We did him last week.
Okay. Did anyone get the Skeens card, by the way, yet?
I was going to ask him the same thing.
No.
Not yet.
That's faded away.
Nobody got it yet.
Nobody's got it yet? Where is it, General?
Hopefully here. So nobody's got it yet. At least nobody's come forward. And my theory on that would be if somebody 50 or older got it, they might not come forward. If somebody 50 or under, they'd be on Facebook immediately.
Well, shouldn't even if we don't reveal the identity of the person, shouldn't Topps come forward and say, hey, somebody got the card, if somebody got it?
Well, they would. They believe me, they would love to parade that thing around. The only thing is, if somebody gets it out of a pack, there's no compulsion for them to call Topps and say, hey, I got it.
Mm.
I've actually had customers who say, the first thing I would do is call my lawyer, right? Like, and I think people may be afraid that if they had it, they wouldn't want people to know right away until they decided what track they were going to take. But it's still red hot, to the point where, I use this metaphor, if you went to play the daily number and the lady at the counter could guarantee you 800 of the numbers couldn't come up, it would be worth more than a dollar shot, right? Because every pack that's opened, the likelihood, if it hasn't come out, is greater. Thereby, the price continues to rise. So the boxes are just, they're so high now, it's unbelievable.
Holy horse follicles, Bob. Well, I think Topps would like that, too. The fact that people are still buying these things off the shelves, hoping to get the card, when for all we know, the Skeens card has already been found.
But if someone has it and is not going to say anything, when do they say? Do they say anything? And without knowing that somebody has it?
Maybe not until it comes to market, until somebody comes. And there are other people, and this is amazing, but there are other people who would say, I'm going to keep it. He's a stud, and it'll be worth $2 million next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems...
Well,
but they run the risk of it not going... I mean, I hope it
would that be smart, General?
Not in my opinion. I love Paul Skeens. Doesn't matter. You could do a lot of damage with $1 million inside the industry. Even assume you're going to keep all the money in the industry. I could take that million and get somebody a better portfolio than putting all my eggs in the... I love Paul Skeens. He might win 5 Cy Youngs, but that's a lot of money for a card that was made 6 weeks ago.
Holy ostrich milk, Bob. Thank you, General. We appreciate
it.
All right, General.
Gentlemen, have a good week.
Can you milk an ostrich, Bob?
You can milk anything with nipples, Greg.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Can we go to break? Do you like pork rinds? I mean,
did you like that movie, Meet the Fockers, Bob?
I loved it.
Was that the original?
That was in the original. It was Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents. And then the
Fockers
sequel
one was very
interesting. Meet the Fockers.
My favorite.
They did a third one, too. The Little Fockers.
Yeah, the Little Fockers. It's such a great name. And all three of them were good. Like, sequels are sometimes horrible.
I just love the toilet situation, how he lied about it, knew it, and wouldn't come from it.
Oh, it's so relatable. You know what really disappointed me, Bob, as a sequel? Maybe the most disappointing sequel of my lifetime, because I think the original is one of the funniest movies ever made. The original is Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And then the second one is Nature Calls. Is that right, Sean?
I wasn't a big fan of that, but yeah, I think...
How did they, with him in it, how do you make it go from all-time funny to never funny at all in one fell swoop?
I think that's the danger when you do sequels. It's hard to, you know, some have been very successful. But when you stretch it out a little bit, if things don't go the way, and I also think people have different expectations. When they see one movie, they expect the same kind of, and they're somewhat internally disappointed if it's not the same level of
laughter.
This
one went from all-time good to all-time bad.
Caddyshack 2, kind of in that same boat.
Yes. How does that happen? It's the same ingredients.
They switched a lot of they lost Rodney Dangerfield and some other
people. So it's
not
the same ingredients.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever see a sequel? When I say sequel, maybe it's the wrong word because this is a series of The Sopranos. In other words, another couple of seasons worth with his son growing up, taking over the mob and everything.
I don't know, but did you see The Karate Kid is coming out with a new movie where the kid is now the old
sage?
He's the
teacher, yeah.
I want to see that, Bob.
Yeah, I thought that was a good movie, too.
That was a legendary movie. Yeah. That profoundly impacted your childhood, did it not?
You could ask Caboli all about that. That's up his alley.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I think he's big time in Karate Kid. It's one of his favorites.
Well, he's on at 12:30. We will ask him that. We're going to ask Jay Caulfield about the Penguins. Coming up next, what is happening with the Penguins? Are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to make some big trades? What's going to happen here? 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Good Feet Store. I want to talk about them because a lot of people have foot pain of one kind or another. It's not a giant appendage, Bob, your foot. What size foot do you have? I'm going to guess 10 and a half.
11 and a half.
11 and a half. Yeah. Has it shrunk or gotten bigger as you get older?
It's gotten wider. I know that. I mean, there are things that happen with your feet. You got to treat your feet the right way. If you don't treat your feet
the right way, that's what I'm saying here. That's
things
exactly.
Things can go bad.
Yes, and things did go bad for me. The joints of my big toes hurt for a long time. For you, it might be plantar fasciitis, might be needles in your heel, might be burning in the balls of your feet. There's so many things with that little foot. Even a big foot is still little. That can go wrong. It's unbelievable. And then a lot of us get it misdiagnosed. I had a guy say, and I had gout a long time ago. Believe me, Bob, I was eating and drinking enough to have gout at the time, but that wasn't the problem. I still don't know what the problem was. What I do know is the pain lessened. With the Good Feet Store, with the Good Feet Foot Arch Support System designed around my foot, my shoes. You don't have to go out and get new shoes, anything like that. I experienced pain relief. You could too. I went to the store out across from IKEA, Robinson Town Center. There's one in Cranberry Township, Route 19 North, next to Walgreens. You can go to goodfeet.com to check it all out or make the short drive to Crowley Town. Maybe you live out that way. Otherwise known as Morgantown at the Suncrest Town Center. Come on in. Try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Let's talk a little Penguins with Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield. Jay's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. He's brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, you're joining me, but more importantly, you're joining Bob Pompiani. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you today?
We're good. I went to the game last night, and I got to tell you, Jay. It was, forget about the result. It felt to me in the building like nothing was happening. It was sort of a careful, don't let anybody score, passion, almost passionless game. I'm not saying they didn't play hard, but it's Columbus.
Yep.
It should be like the backyard brawl. It should be like a playoff game. It just didn't have the feel of that. It had a feel of a modern-day NHL game, the worst kind, where the coaches choke the life out of it and everybody's careful not to make a mistake. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's first of all, I do believe, and you're right, we're trying to make about it being Columbus and a rival. The talk about it being close and rivalries with the rivalry that we still see, and Philly's even less when teams aren't relevant, and then it's hard to see. I felt what you're talking about too. When you come in the building, even the building, the life in the building was flat, right? So, I mean, this is a game. This is what the concern about that game for me was last night. You're playing Columbus. You've been on a road trip. You come back, your first game after a trip, you're playing Columbus. And you have Edmonton to follow up next. I'm not saying they looked ahead. I'm just saying it's an easy one. And the fan base alone was the same way. I mean, they're trying to get them. They're behind. But it's just the atmosphere was that way just in the building, let alone the play you talked about. It was a flat first period. Not a good first period. If you don't have the Crosby line doing what they're doing, it's difficult. And I'm not saying there's other guys that aren't doing their role. Fourth line, they do the same thing each and every shift. They get out there and they bust their tail. The third line, I thought would pull Yarvey back in the lineup and Hayes. You see what they're doing. And again, there is some energy with that. But after that, if you don't have Crosby doing what they're doing, it's difficult. Right? It's difficult. And you gave away a point, an extra point to Columbus. And you could tell by Mike Sullivan's interview at the end of the night, guys, he's not happy with what they're seeing. They know they gave away any kind of room that they had for mistakes went away when you had the start that you did.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
And Jay, I think the same result on the road against Florida and Carolina, a little bit different in that, you know, those are two pretty good teams and they in one came back to force and get a point. But yeah, this is one of those. They got some young players on Columbus who I really like. But I want to ask you about why is it that Tristan Jarry has this thing about first shot, first goal. It's happened repeatedly. And listen, some of them are really good shots, but it just seems like it's maybe a mental hurdle with him now.
Yeah, I have, you know, Bob, it is. I don't know the exact numbers on it, how many times this has happened.
I think it's
six. It is amazing that it's happened. That's amazing to me. And again, I think your point that you said it too, like, are some his fault, some not. I mean, they made a great play last night and they scored, but he wasn't. I don't know. It is amazing to me. I don't even have an answer for that, really. It's a little bit of breakdown, first touch. You know, he doesn't get the first save, and then he puts it together and stays solid. I mean, usually if you saw him completely fall apart, but that didn't happen, and they got to him late. I don't know what it is, Bob. I don't know. It's difficult, and I think to have a real flat period and not really. It's not what I think. Everybody was hoping they started to play better hockey. They're playing better hockey, and then you just have a run where you're giving away points here and there. They've played against some tough teams and they've hung right with them. But last night's a disappointment because I think the part that's disappointing is that we're even talking about that you're even up with Columbus right now. Look at the lineup. I mean, that Zach Werenski is 45 points from the blue line going in the last night, and he has not the lineup. There's young guys, there's some young, talented guys, but they're hardworking. And the season that guy's putting together, they come away with the 2 points, and they leapfrog the Penguins. So if it goes back and forth like that, that's fine, but certainly the bright spot. You see the Crosby line doing what they're doing. They're very, very good. I said before, I said it last week probably, they've been the best line in hockey and what they're doing. And Raquel with a great comeback season for them.
Yeah, no question about that. Two sniper shots there. Great move by Crosby behind the goal to set him up with the second one. But, Sidney Crosby is an amazing person. And we talk a lot about him. Everybody knows what he represents, what he is. He's been as consistent as anyone, never, ever in any situation that puts a franchise in jeopardy or himself. And yet he works on things that he feels he needs to improve. I remember several years ago I'm sure he still does now, but this face-off thing. When he started, he wasn't what he was now or what he is now in terms of winning, but he set the all-time record for face-off wins. For a guy who's already established himself and 18 years into his career, to see the little things that for him are often big things, I don't know what else to say about Sidney Crosby that already hasn't been said, except I admire that willingness to work and get better no matter how good you are.
Yeah, I agree with that, Bob. I mean, certainly the longevity is a part of that. The ability that you're out there. I think the idea of taking draws and the pressure that I say pressure, but it's part of the game. But guys who are good at draws, I mean, it's you're put in positions where you need to win one and you have to win one. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's a grind to it. There's a talent to it. There's an art. It's a skill set. And to be on top of that again, first of all, you need all that. I talked about you have a long career. You're put in those positions and you're relied on. And again, another phase of his game that he's made, he's the best at. So, I mean, he's at the top of the list. And I think if you watch him, guys know what he's going to do, and he still accomplishes it. You know, so, yep, Bob, it's a tribute to him as an athlete and how he goes about his business. And he's still, like, putting up the numbers. I think when you get to watch him, ISO on him, the one-on-one battles, the play that he sets up. So we get to see the play on Raquel, but it's the little things. He does that all over the rink. And now when there's a goal scored, then you really get to see it. But that play was the way he took the wall away, then used the back of the net and blah, 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 and great backhand feed to Raquel. But, yep, that good.
Jay Caulfield on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can communicate with Sean, don't call me, Seth Myers on the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I don't know, Jay. Maybe I'm old and jaded here, but I don't feel old. I feel very spry today, as Bob would tell you, right from the opening soliloquy. I went to a hockey game last night, had wonderful seats thanks to this guy I know named Donnie, not Donnie Football. I might have seen an odd man break, maybe one great save, maybe two, zero big hits in the game, very little hostility. I wanted some hostilities.
And normally, this provides it. Columbus coming into town, we've had these crazy moments.
No fight. I didn't see a fight. I feel like I went to, I don't know what. I guess the bottom line, here's one thing for you and Bob both. Would you guys like to see hockey go to 4-on-4 for the third period? I would.
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, look, let me go back to what you were saying
before. The NHLPA would. They wouldn't want that.
No, they wouldn't. They would. And the purists, hockey purists, I understand what you're saying there, Joe, but I'll say this. I'll go with this part. I'm going to go back to what and you mentioned that in the opening in the first question. I kind of danced around a little bit. I talked about the fans and the building itself and what it was like in the building. But I agree with what you're saying. There's no because I don't think that rivalry has ever been built up with Columbus at one point, right? Number one. Number two, the Penguins. Columbus has a fighter. That Olivier for Columbus is one of the best in the game. There's just no takers on this side. And nothing even happened in that game to even warrant it, like you were just mentioning, Joe, right?
Yes.
There was nothing in that game at all. So it was back and forth and who's trying to get 2 points. And you could see Columbus with a minute and a half to go. They wanted to make sure they got 1 point. Right, they just held on to the puck.
That was the other thing, Jay. They held on to the puck, and then at the end of the other period, there was a scrum that lasted 15 seconds, and then everybody booed when Columbus just held on to the puck for a point. The game stunk.
Yeah, I'm agreeing, and I think the player. I'm going to tell you, you're in the middle. This is the dog days of winter, right? This is the long part of a hockey season for players. It's long. It's you're 41 games in. You're playing game 42. Whatever the number is, like last night, and it's a grind, right? And they're up and down. But you thought with them having this good pushback, starting to play better hockey, that they need to get on a roll. And again, there are some nights when the game is flat, and that game to me was flat. I feel like you did. There were some opportunities. The Penguins were better in overtime. Their goalie played well, and then we see what happens in the shootout. The Penguins are better in the third period, but. But the funny thing is they were better in the third period and they had the lead going into it. And that was their better period. I think Mike Sullivan even said the same thing. Like they gave up 2 goals in that situation. I will say one thing. I thought it was the worst. That slash call to put them on the power play.
Against Lazat.
By the way, it doesn't change anything. Yeah, I don't get the call. I don't get the call at all. I really don't. They're grown men playing a game. I didn't even see anything there that like Lazat is like a dog on the bone. He's going to go after stuff all the time. That's how he plays the game. That's how he steals pucks. That's how he forces the play. I don't get that call. But that does still not take away from the idea of what you're talking about, Joe. I'm just saying that call was horrendous. And I'm not I certainly try not to be the guy that's blaming on the refs each and every minute, but that call was terrible. But the bottom line is they get on the power play and they scored. So it's funny how your game's going. I said it's like a golf game, Joe, Bob, right? One day, your driver's good, but your irons aren't. The next day, irons are good, your driver's not, and maybe your putt. When it's a blend. Now the Penguins, the PK has been letting them down the last couple games. They needed a kill. They didn't get it. But I still will say the worst call. The refs called that game like it was a bunch of, you know, little kids playing a game where it's no contact. I didn't get it at all. So that's what I felt with that call to me. And they put him on the power play late in the game. I don't understand.
But they also took advantage of it. Like, to your point, the Penguins needed to kill off and they couldn't do it. Since you brought up golf real quick, I know you didn't see the TGL thing, the new concept that Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy have started with investors like Steph Curry and Shohei Ohtani and many others who are intrigued with this game of golf, as you are, Jay. Did you see it or have you seen it, Joe? You too. I mean, this is a phenomenal kind of thing that will take golf, I think, to a different level. It combines golf with all the stuff that young people like, which are bells and whistles, all kinds of matrix things, digital upgrades on every possible shot. You create courses. I think it's pretty interesting. I just wanted to get your thought.
I didn't see it. I'm going to watch it. Like, I can go back and watch it today. But I've heard a mix about it. I've heard a mix. And it's probably – but I think what you're touching on, Bob, is like for the fan – to get the continued growth of a game.
Yes.
You talk about all the bells and whistles that has to kind of go that way. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. What was your opinion about it?
I thought it was fantastic just because it was a course created by Jack Nicklaus design people, and it was dealt, you know, it's a simulator type of approach. You create your own holes. You see it out there, they actually have greens.
But with real putting.
But with real putting, they have greens that maneuver. It's just.
It was more interesting than I thought it would
be. I haven't seen anything quite like it. I think it's interesting, and people will want to play it and watch it. If they watch it, they'll get hooked on golf. Isn't that the way they should be?
Speaking of which, Jay, I'm well into planning. You, myself, Bob, and Mario to Hilton Head for 4 days. Bob's treat, and maybe, I don't know, 80-some holes of golf. All right? So I'll keep you updated.
Keep me posted, Joe. Mario will love to hear that. I'll give him the update, all right?
Thank you, Jay.
All right, Jay.
Have a great day. You take care.
Very generous of you, Bob, to treat for that.
Wonderful, yes. It'll be a fun time.
I think so. So, yeah, that was pretty cool last night. I thought, why would I want to watch somebody hit golf balls like that? Like I like hitting them inside.
But it's not a square little, it's a massive. The ball, you strike it, it goes into that.
And it was cool. And then the putting was really cool. And the chipping, they did real chipping.
With sand?
Yes.
And they maneuvered it around. I've never seen.
I liked anything. It.
I do too. And I think young people who might not otherwise be interested in golf might look at this and say, yeah, you know, it's a digital kind of thing. I like digital stuff. Let's give it a try.
All right.
Sean, do you play golf?
No, I really need to try to get into it. It's tough, though. My fear is when you're not a good player, you don't want to ruin everyone's experience if they are decent.
Well, Joe
players.
Didn't care about that. He ruined many.
Oh, my
He's
God,
a different
Bob.
Breed.
That hurts. That really hurts.
I'm just kidding. Joe has adapted quickly, and now he's better than me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, Bob.
I see your handicap.
Are you guys going to Oakmont?
My handicap stinks.
Yes, we have an offer by a friend of ours named Greg who's made that possible. And he said we're going to do it. And Joe, I'm telling you, that is going to be one heck of a day.
Man,
the putting will.
I just am so beyond excited for it, Bob. Yeah. Seriously,
have a real life caddy who will be telling you exactly where to hit the ball.
I know.
And when it goes in, sometimes you feel like I didn't earn that. He told me I wouldn't have done that. It's not my putt.
No, that's mimicking real life golf.
Right.
You have a caddy and you walk the course.
Right. No, you'll love it.
All right, Bob. Coming up, Mark Cabali at 12:30. But first, this Ravens Steelers game is filled with bigger picture stories. I wrote about this in the Post-Gazette today. I want to have this conversation with Bob and with you about legacies, futures, contracts, reputations. There's a lot of things on the line here. George Pickens, a great example. Like if he has a great game compared to if he disappears again or freaks out again, what does that do to his future? Russell Wilson, the perfect example. this guy balls out and has a great game and leads them to a win in Baltimore, then you start to think again what we were all thinking a month and a half ago, which is he's a lock for a contract. Right now, I'd say he's a lock for not a contract moving forward. And if he stinks again, let's say he gets pulled from the game, then it's impossible to imagine him being with the Steelers next year. That kind of thing, plus legacies like Lamar and off seasons and what's going to happen. There's a lot here that we're going to talk about next. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's a Joe Burrow rookie card this week. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. All right. Bob, I'd like to tell people about FanDuel. Football fans, buckle up, because for the first time ever, we've got five straight days of playoff football in college and the pros. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. With a no-sweat SGP, you combine your bets from the same game for a chance at even bigger winnings. And if it doesn't win, you'll get bonus bets back. So not only do we get to watch five straight days of playoff football, but there's five chances to win big. Just visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to be part of this epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Starkey. It's the great playoff payoff. And it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 21 plus present, Pennsylvania, opt-in required. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Bob, Raven Steelers needs no endorsement from me. It's a playoff game, for God's sakes. But I would suggest that there is way more at stake here as far as legacies, futures, reputations. This game feels like it has a lot attached to it, more than your ordinary playoff game, for a lot of people. And I want to go over some, potentially. I want to go over some of these with you and phrase them in the form of a question. Are you game for that, Bob? It would be very awkward if you said no.
I'm game for anything you have.
Ron, your microphone's not. There you go.
Ron.
Because the microphone wasn't on. Are you back, Bob?
I'm back.
What kind of pizza? Did you have?
A healthy version.
There is no healthy version of pizza. There's a tasty version, though, and that's the kind that they serve at Slice on Broadway. Oh,
Slice
my God,
is
it good?
Very good. Always tasty.
Is it's like good?
It's amazing, the attack. As soon as it's laid out, man, everyone comes. They can smell it in every studio here.
Like Ravens on roadkill, which some people think the Steelers will be this weekend. Not me. I don't. But we've had that conversation. Bob, I want to know if you agree with these bigger picture suggestions. Are you ready?
Let's go.
I'm just going to hand the floor to you on each one of these. The first suggestion is that a loss, especially a lopsided loss, would mark the low point of Mike Tomlin's 18-year tenure. Agree or disagree?
I would disagree, just because I think losing to the Browns at home in that playoff game the way they did, the Jacksonville game the way they did, those are pretty low marks. Those are teams that they were expected to win. Again, if you're going to believe in point spreads, if they lose lopsidedly, I don't think it would surprise people, because that's the way this season has kind of gone. I don't think it's going to be that kind of game. But I think those other two games that I mentioned, when I looked at them to start and where what happened, very, very disgusting to watch, especially the first quarters of those games.
The difference here, at least for me, would be that we're now on the tail end of an 8-year streak if he loses. 8 years, and he would have overseen yet another historic collapse. This one, it would only mark the second 5-game losing streak of his whole tenure, the first time he ever ended a season with a 5-game losing streak, coming at a time when they're already setting records for how long they've gone without a division title. They would have blown a two-game division lead in December to the Ravens and then lost to them in a playoff game. For me, it would be. It would be the low point of Tomlin's tenure. But I certainly hear your points, and I value them and respect them. Conversely, beating the Ravens would mark one of the great wins of Tomlin's career. In fact, I would argue, Bob, and I want to know if you agree with this, other than the conference championship wins, two of them, and the Super Bowl win, I think this might be the greatest win of his career to do that to the Ravens, who are a 10-point favorite in Baltimore and ruin everything. Do you agree?
Since you took those ones and you made that a caveat, those big games, because those is, you know, those are the games that you want to win when you get a chance to win, and they did. But yes, given where they are, given what's happened, given the Ravens being the team that a lot of people think can win it all, and to go in there as a 10-point underdog and win that game would be extremely significant. Yes.
Next, a win would absolutely mean the difference between a successful season and a failure of a season. Does Bob Pompeiani agree or disagree?
No, I disagree. I want to see a couple of wins. I want to see them go, you know, based on what, you know, how this season started and where it was headed. I think those expectations change. And once they got to 10-3, I realized that they did it against some teams that weren't all that good at times, and they won games, but they won games. And I thought one win, if you're going to settle for that, sure, you can look back and say, well, that's more than you got in 8 years. I want to see more. So it wouldn't be successful to me.
Holy parrot milk. Can you milk a parrot, Bob?
As Sean said, you can. Do parrots have nipples, Sean? I mean,
thankfully, I've never investigated that.
I don't think you can. I don't think there's any such thing as parrot milk.
I don't.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe there is. Parrot
you got
juice,
desperate for
parrot.
Milk.
I mean, you say bird milk, right? I mean, yeah. Parrots are kind of a bird, right? I mean, they're a little bit different than a traditional.
Can parrots fly? Yeah, parrots fly. Or do they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Parrots can fly, sure.
Okay.
And just don't bring up woodpeckers to this conversation,
no.
Because then...
Nothing with woodpeckers, Bob. I know you're on medication. well, hold on a second here. If they go in and beat the Ravens in Baltimore as a 10-point underdog, then go to Buffalo and go to overtime and lose, you're going to say failure
of
a season?
Now, you threw that in as the next stage of this. No, I want to see wins in the playoffs. I think they've wanted to for all these years. One, given that it's Baltimore, would make you feel better. But for me, I want to see another one after that. That's all. That would be
a close loss
season.
In Buffalo would then constitute still a failure. I'm
probably
just trying to, okay.
Yeah. My expectations are pretty high with this team. Or where I
respect
thought they were
that, headed. And I value that. Russell Wilson, he's the next bigger picture issue from this game. A month ago, everybody on earth thought that he was a lock for a long-term contract with the Steelers to be their quarterback next year. By long-term, maybe a 2 or 3 year deal. I know I did. If Russ, and now nobody does, if he wins this game and plays great, would you say he is going to be the Steelers quarterback next season, or would you still have questions?
I would have questions, but I think that the answer would be yes, because again, I think their plan was to do this anyway. And if he goes into a game like this, given the magnitude of it and where they are and what they're coming off of, and pulls out a really solid game at quarterback and leads them to a win, I would say yes. The question still would be how many years we're talking about here,
right?
Because I don't want to go too deep into that.
And plus, they'd have another game. What if he imploded in Buffalo?
Well, that's, yeah.
So. If he stinks in this game, or if he's just, like, isn't very good and they lose, and God forbid he gets pulled from the game, is it a lock that he won't get a contract? I say yes.
I would think yes also. I don't know, lock may be strong. I still think they may have, it depends on the contract, depends on what he's willing to do. We mentioned bridge quarterback potential. Would he be okay with that distinction if it became that? I don't know. They still have major issues to do at quarterback. They got to figure this out at some point, longer term, not just year by year.
I think if he fails in this game, for me, it's unimaginable that he would come back.
So Justin Fields would be your de facto choice?
Oh, who knows? I mean, last year we were sitting here with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. God only knows who they might bring in or what might happen to that quarterback.
But that's what I mean. At some point, you have to hit on this and come up with someone who's going to be the 24, 25-year-old kid who has a great year, and you understand that he is your franchise. It's hard to get him.
It's hard to get him. Okay, that brings us to the next one, Bob. Are you ready for this? George Pickens, the guy the Ravens are calling as soft as Lamar's new cologne. If he implodes in this game, freaks out, all that stuff, I would say it's inarguable that he becomes way less of a candidate for the Steelers to want to sign long term and also for any other team to want to trade for. Everyone's going to be looking at this on a national stage knowing that this guy has already lost his mind on multiple occasions. Conversely, if he has a great game and shows out in this game, I think he obviously becomes that much more of an attractive trade candidate, but also for the Steelers to sign. Do you agree with both of those suggestions? That one game, this little measly one game, could spell a contract or a new team for George, whereas a crappy game might guarantee him another year in Pittsburgh, yes, but on the same deal, his rookie deal.
I would agree with generally with that, yes. When you say crappy game, if he has, you know, similar numbers to last week, I can't imagine they get any worse. Six targets, no yards.
I mean, that's an all-time historically.
But if he has just a mediocre game, he's a non-factor, and they do go to him, but nothing happens, I think it's a conundrum is the word you're looking for. What do they do with him?
That was because the word I was looking
for. You're stuck trying to figure out if this is your longer-term answer.
Right.
You appreciate the talent, but coming with the talent is a lot of this attitude which has to be adjusted. And if he can't adjust it and they can't adjust it, then you can't go into it with long-term aspirations. You just can't. So then what does that leave them? Play out a year and hope you do well. He has the Najee treatment. There's no fifth-year option because he's a round two pick, but
right.
He has 1 year left. And you put it on his plate to say, now it's up to you. I'm not doing anything. You're here for one more year. And then we decide.
The last impression is a giant impression in the NFL, man, if you have a big playoff game. And I would argue another guy who falls under this category is our friend and yours, Artie Smith. And I think if Arthur Smith, if this offense were to go out and have a huge day and a big upset win, then those teams that are interviewing him for God knows what reason would suddenly look real good for hiring him. You know what I mean? He suddenly becomes a talking point where fans of the New York Jets or the Chicago Bears are like, wow, did you see that Steeler offense the other day? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think their offense is going to have some wildly great day. But conversely, if those fans and those team owners are watching the Steelers and they go out and don't score an opening drive touchdown again and stink for the whole game again, don't you think that that could turn off those teams and those fan bases to the mere idea of hiring Arthur Smith?
More than just the fan bases, the people who are doing the interview.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Wait a minute, this is not what we need. I don't know if they're capable of doing that either. I hope they can. I hope they see something different. And, you know, variety is lacking here with this game plan offensively. They need to do more things. And I realize they may be shorthanded at wide receiver. They don't have a lot of depth. But still, you can scheme people open once in a while. You could come up with plays that are designed to confuse the opposition. And they need, especially with this rivalry, knowing that everybody knows everything about each other because you play them so often, you got to do that.
Yeah.
You've got to come up with a wheel route to Jaylen Warren out of the backfield where he makes a catch 35 yards down the field. You got to come up with a pick play over the middle that frees a George Pickens so he can run for 35 yards. I want to see more of that. And what happens will determine what happens to Arthur Smith as far as nationally. He'll be back here regardless.
Well, there's a couple of other names I want. You think so?
Yes, because they signed him to do that, and I don't think after 1 year they're going to change. I would be shocked, wouldn't you?
No.
You wouldn't be shocked?
Nothing would shock me. Like I said,
they held on to Matt Canada for 3 years.
I know. I'd be surprised. I wouldn't say shocked, especially if they stink in Baltimore. If you're Art. And this looks like Matt Canada at the moment.
It does.
In some ways, it's worse than that.
First down run percentage success is worse than the NFL.
They go in there, they get shut out in Baltimore. Nothing. Like I said, we sat here last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph as the quarterbacks. If you would have told me then that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields would be their quarterbacks, I would have said you were nuts. So nothing would surprise me at this point. But there's two other names for the Steelers that you mentioned that I want to get to at the top of the hour with big implications. One is Najee. One you mentioned is Justin Fields. And then on the other side, would this be the worst loss of John Harbaugh's 17-year career? And what about Lamar? There's a lot of guys in the AFC. It's rife with big-time quarterbacks. You only get so many kicks at the can where you have the best or one of the best teams where you almost should win it, or you should be in the AFC title game, or you should be able to go to Kansas City and win. How many more times for him, and what happens to his reputation if he loses? Both of those guys. Let's talk about that at the top of the hour before we get to the Cabalian Mongoose. Mark Cabali, Fan Hotlines, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Guess what, Bob?
What, Joe?
Brian Batko has already undecorated his Christmas tree. He took it down 2 days ago. I think that's a holiday foul. I think that's outrageous, as a matter of fact. How long does your tree stay up?
Everything's gone.
I know that's a personal question.
My wife takes it down. She's very good at moving on to the next. We're already into Valentine's Day. It's like Bill Belichick.
Wait, what? Your tree's down already?
Valentine's Day.
Your tree's down?
Everything's done.
Sean?
You probably don't want to hear my answer.
We're on to Valentine's Day. What? Tell me.
Yeah, so I had a snow day Monday, and with the extra time, I took my tree down.
Oh, my God.
My wife does all the work. I'm just there for moral support. I do nothing. And I told her when I got married to her, I said, when I proposed, I said, Lisa, please understand, I don't do anything. I'm the worst person when it comes to trying to understand assembly required. The only thing I do is talk. If you're willing to bank on this, please say I do. If you're not, I understand why you wouldn't, because I don't do anything.
Maybe I'm the one who's off base here.
Don't you have to put like the star at the top of the tree or something?
I don't do anything, Sean. When I say that, I mean
your height doesn't come in
handy. I have set the bar so low that Lisa's become the best handyman I know. She does everything.
Trees are down by January 8th and 7th and 6th. I'm flummoxed here. I'm flabbergasted. I'm a lot of other words that begin with FL. Sean.
You keep it until St. Patrick's Day?
Wait a minute. Here's a better question. How much do you have, though? We have a lot, and it takes days.
No. It's just a little skinny little Christmas tree.
I'm talking about all the decorations. You leave all the
decorations. I'm talking strictly about the tree. I'm talking about the Christmas tree. Am I wrong here at 412-928-9370? Texting might be the way to go here with Sean Myers, 928-9370. Myself and Limits ripped Brian Batko for undecorating.